Okay, so it's Ephesians chapter 5. With this week, next week, we're talking about husbands and wives. Now listen up here, ladies. As I am talking to the men, you're going to have this sudden urge every now and then to go, see, see, see. Don't do that, because next week he's going to be going, And so you want to be cautious, amen? What goes around comes around, so we want to be careful of that. We are going to have a little bit of fun with this, but on the other hand, I really want you to understand what's going on in Ephesians. When we study Ephesians, most people have this tendency, they look at it, and it says, and here's the thing. The only verse they get lost in, like they can't seem to get over, can't seem to get past, it becomes this huge hurdle, becomes very difficult for whatever reason, is when I say, wives, submit to your husband. And when I say, wives, submit to your husband, and then, and you notice I said husband, not husbands, we want to keep it singular, wives, submit to your husband, and then some of you be like, I don't think so. It'd be a cold day before that happens. I'm not submitting to anybody. I'm my own woman. Amen? I know nobody in here is going to raise your hand on that. Like, I am not submitting to nothing. But honey, when I get home, you'll find out. So when we look at this, guys, I want to unfold this so that you clearly understand what this passage is about, what it looks like, what marriage really looks like, and then our role in that marriage, and how Christ says, hey, listen, this isn't just about husbands and wives, you know, that the man is above the woman and the woman is below the man. This isn't what it's about. This is about marriage and how this marriage should look so that it glorifies me. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is how does your marriage, how does your relationship glorify God? And I will tell you this, if you are not married and you are in a physical relationship where you guys are joining together, if you will, man, you need to stop that. That's the wrong relationship, and you're already hurting it before you even get it off the ground. And you say, well, you know, I'm just not ready to get married. Well, then you're not ready for anything else. And by the way, if he or she is good enough for that, then they're good enough to marry, amen? And if they're not good enough to marry, then get out. Why live in sin, amen? Why, especially as a Christian, if you're not a Christian, the Bible says you don't know any better. And you're like, that hurts. I know, right? And so, but the Bible says you don't know any better, so we can't expect any more out of you. It's kind of like asking a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old not to slobber on themselves. It's not going to happen. They don't know any better. But when they start hitting 5 and 6 years old, you expect them to wipe their own chin. Amen? And so that's the way it is in relationships. As a Christian, the Word of God says that this is what it should look like. The problem is that most Christians today only take the Word of God that suits them or that tastes well for them, and then they get rid of the rest, right? If they treat it like a buffet. Hey, we're only going to consume what we can digest, and we're going to throw away the rest. And so as we look at this, guys, I want you to see the picture of marriage, so hopefully it'll help you understand how to keep your household the way it needs to be kept. And I know as we go through this that, listen, some of you have been divorced. I'm not going to talk about divorce. I'm talking about marriage. Some of you have, you are not going to agree with what I have to say. And that's cool. Just understand this. You're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with God. Okay? Some of you are going to go, hey, Pastor, I don't appreciate you telling me my position in this marriage. And typically, if you have the attitude where you say, I don't agree with you telling me my position in this marriage, then what it tells me is you've assumed the wrong role. You've assumed the role that is not yours and should be for your spouse. And so, listen, just so you know, I will not be offended at all whether you like or don't like what I have to say this morning. Amen. I get emails and I get texts and I get phone calls. And usually when I discuss subjects like this, people get ruffled feathers. As I'm preaching and I say, you know, women surrender to your husband, and I'll get this, and I am not kidding you. You guys can't see what I see, amen? And so I'll look out and I get this. Like this look of, I will shoot you where you stand if I have a carry and conceal permit. You know, one of those looks. Or how many, well, Louisa's not here today, so I'll pick on her because she's not here. But I would say things to Louisa. For those of you who don't know her, you miss a treat. You'll get to know her eventually if you keep coming. But I would say something to her and she would do this. Right? And you knew immediately she didn't agree. And so it would be funny, but I get that. So guys, as we go through this, understand, I'm going to teach you the Word of God. What you do with that is up to you. And also, it is between you and God, the results that come out of your marriage. And if your marriage isn't the best, you might want to think about what's going to be said today and what the Bible says. Amen? Okay, so with all that as a preface, let's get into the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 22. As we look at this, guys, I'm going to be focusing mainly on the husbands, and then next week I'll focus mainly on the wives. And so, wives, don't check out, and don't sit there taking notes so that you can tell your husband when you get home what the Bible says, okay? It's like, you remember, I wrote this right here, yeah, pastor said it, you know, let's call pastor. I love that. I love how some of you go home and say, well, pastor said, and then they hate me, your spouse hates me when they come back. How about saying, God says or the Bible says, and leave me out of it, amen? I'll come in and help you where I can, but don't use me to help your fight. Okay, verse 22, wives, we start right off with a kick. Bam, submit. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, if you notice, wives, it says to your own husbands. You don't have to submit to somebody else's husband. You don't have to surrender to somebody, to another man's authority, unless, of course, he has authority in his position. And then you only surrender to that. Such as me, I'm the pastor, so you would surrender to my authority as the pastor in the church. And same way with men, you would surrender to my authority as the pastor in the church. If you have a police officer, you surrender to his authority. Why? Well, he has a gun. But you surrender to his position as authority. You know, I went and visited the governor. I had opportunity to meet him a few months ago. And I'm going to tell you, he was a really nice guy. I enjoyed talking with him, talked with him for about 20 minutes. It was just really enjoyable. Now, with that being said, I don't agree with his stand. I don't agree with his politics. I don't agree with the liberality. I don't agree with the laws that he passes. I don't agree with him. But here's the thing. He had authority. And so I surrendered to that authority. And I shook his hand, and I was very cordial and very polite. He was very cordial, very polite, but he had authority. And so I surrendered to that. And that is what I'm talking about when we talk about submit. Listen, and by the way, I am no less than Governor Cuomo, and he's no more than me. But we do take a position, and that's what this is talking about. So it says here, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And so now we see the comparison. Listen, what does it look like to submit to the husband? Husbands, what does it look like to lead the wife? And we see the example, Christ. Christ and the church. So what does it look like? Jesus is the groom and the church is the bride, right? We surrender to Christ as the body of believers, as a church, and then Christ is the leader, and so he leads us, and that's what marriage looks like. So as we're going through this, guys, understand that when we talk about marriage, it's not just a husband and wife now who've come together and they love one another, and so now they're married. Listen, it is an example of Christ and the church. So as you're living this out, as you're setting the example, when people see you, they should see Christ, amen, because you're the bride, Christ is the groom. And so in your marriage, it literally should be set up so that people see God, because that's the way marriage is designed to look like. It is designed to look like Jesus and the church. Now, many of you ladies would never have a problem surrendering to Christ, But for some reason, when it comes to your husband, you're like, uh-uh. Or that when he deserves it. And I will say this, you know, husbands, some of you need to work on that. Amen? Some of you need to be the husbands, but wives, you need to let him. Okay, here we go. I said it was about the men, not the ladies. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So now, husbands, what does it look like? Next week, we'll back up and cover the wives in detail. But husbands, what does it look like to love your wife? What does it look like show them your love, to exemplify Christ, to show what the church and what the Savior and the church looks like in that marriage or that bond? What does that look like? Husbands, love your wives. And you know, many people, they go, well, all right, we're married and because we love each other. But problem is that love kind of wanes at times for some, doesn't it? I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes you're like, man, it's really hard to love you. I mean, can you imagine what Tina goes through loving Milton? Holy smoke. And so sometimes you're like, wow, really? And so it's mainly his bad haircut. But what happens is when we love one another and we hang in there, but then all of a sudden our love kind of goes into this mode where we struggle to love each other because now what we thought was cute that our spouse did becomes annoying. Amen? Anybody ever been there? Don't you dare raise your hand. And so all of a sudden now, the thing is that we loved, or when we say we love, that starts fading, and then, of course, what happens when it fades? Help me. What happens? Divorce. Right? We're going to get divorced. Why? Well, I've fallen out of love. It's like, are you kidding me? You didn't fall in love. You can fall in a hole, but you don't fall in love. Love is a choice. And so when we look at this, it says, husbands, love your wife. Listen, as Christ loved the church. What about the church? The church is the people, amen? I'm just going to tell you, sometimes we're just straight up unlovable. Amen? Now think about this. The Bible says that we're ungodly. The Bible says that we're evil. The Bible says that, the Bible just says we have issues. Amen? And we do, amen? And yet God loves us. Why? Not because we earned it or we deserved it or even because we're good enough, but because He chose to. The Bible says that we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And our strength. And here's the thing. It's not a recommendation. God commands that. It's a commandment. Amen? So what does that tell us about love? It's a choice. So when we get to this point, husbands, to love your wife, here's what you need to do. You need to make it a choice. You love her because you love her, not because she's still gorgeous as she was when she was 20 years old. And well, now she's 85 and wrinkled up. She's not 20 anymore. You still love. You notice how I just jumped this wide gap? Nobody in here is 85. Amen. And so, you know, and so here's the thing. Listen, when my wife and I got married, I had beautiful, long, flowing black hair. I did. That's not even a joke. Full head. I didn't start losing my hair until I was 30, 28, and then it starts fading. And of course, the more it faded, the shorter I cut it. And then when I got the cul-de-sac on top, I was like, man, it's all got to go. And so you know, I shaved it then at that point. Never had a gray hair until I started the church. That's the truth. Not one gray hair until I got close to God's bride. And then all of a sudden, the gray hair just flowed. And so what didn't turn loose turned gray. And I'm like, here I am. I am not what my wife married 28 years. Yeah. You know, as I look back to see if she was going to nod. Because if she would have went like that, you guys never would have known. I'd have just kept on rolling with it. So in April, it'll be 28 years. But I'm not who. Listen, I was 145 pounds. I'm not what I was, but I'm not 145 either. That's why I can fit into this suit again. I'm not what my wife married, and you know what? She's not what I married. She's much better. Yeah, I ain't stupid. You don't see that on my forehead, right? Is that right or is it this one? Which one is it, teenagers? It's right hand. Right hand gives you the left signal. Okay, so I'll remember that now. But the truth is, we change. Some of us were incredibly healthy, and now we take on a sickness. Not just spiritually, but maybe emotionally. You know, some of us have marriages where we used to go out and do everything together, and now we do nothing together. Some of us have marriages where we just gaze at each other for hours, and now we can't stand to look at each other. And what happens is we look at the world, and the world says, get out. You deserve to be happy. Why are you staying with that person? And God says, listen, you made a covenant. And that covenant said what? Till death do you part. So I know now some of you are thinking of murder. But listen, that's not going to work either, because now you have no freedom. You're right where you started. No, I'm kidding. And so, here's what the Bible says. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. My whole point is, guys, it was a purposeful decision to love the bride even when the bride became unlovable. How many of you are perfectly sinless? See, that sin makes you unlovable. But yet, our groom says, I will give myself. Jesus says, I will give myself and I will shed my blood so it covers what may appear to be unlovable so that you are now lovable again. You notice he didn't wait on us to change. What did he do? He gave us everything we needed to make the change so that we'd be lovable again. And you know what? Even when we didn't make that change, he said, I still love you. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's what that looks like. To be the protector. You go all through the scriptures and it talks about how God is our shelter, how God is our refuge, how God gives us peace that passes all understanding, how God comforts us, how God directs us, how God guides us, how God supplies to us. You know, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Husbands, what does that look like for us? If we see how Christ loved the church and he supplies for the church being the bride, us, what does it look like, husbands, for us to do that for our physical bride? Then that means that we have to invest in them. That means that we have to encourage them and we have to comfort them. We have to protect them. We have to be there for them when they need us. Now, husbands, if you're like me, we don't want to listen to all the problems. Somebody say amen. Okay, I'll make sure I'm not alone. We don't. I had a lady go, that's true. Just you didn't hear her, I did. We don't want to hear all the problems, but here's the other thing. Are you ready? Wives don't want all the answers. They just want us to listen to what they have to say. And sometimes that's hard. And so here's what you do. You look at her, and you look her deeply in the eyes with this eyes of love and care because you want them to know you're there. Give them your undivided and ask this question. Do you want a solution or do you want me to just hear this? And you know what she'll say? I just want you to listen. Okay. And we take off all the answers that we know would clearly solve their problem like that. So you're like, oh, here we go. We're having fun. Come on. We take all the answers, because listen, men are problem solvers, right? Men are goal-oriented, right? We just see it. Because listen, we have waffle heads. We're waffle heads. How many know what a waffle head is? How many don't know what a waffle head is? All right, so here's what it was. Because see, if I'd have left it at that, you guys have been like, I don't know why he called you a waffle head. Well, lady, you guys are spaghetti brains. How do you like that? How many know what a spaghetti brain is? How many don't know what a spaghetti brain is? How many are interested in knowing what a spaghetti brain is? There you go. Men are waffle heads, and the fact that here's what we do. We take problems, and we compartmentalize them. And we go into that compartment, we go into that box, and we fix the problem, because that's all there is. When that problem is fixed, we step out of that box, and we step over, and we step into another box, and we fix the problem, because that's what we do. Now, ladies, on the other hand, you're spaghetti brain. You can do 30,000 different things at one time. And we step back as men and we are in awe of your ability to do this. Amen? Come on, men, right? Listen, you're cooking dinner, you're doing laundry, you're dusting, you're cleaning, you're reading your Bible, you're watching TV, and I mean, you're balancing your checkbook, and you're doing it all at one time. And we just sit there and go, wow. Whereas we sit down, it's time to eat, let's eat, done. Let's watch TV, done. Let's balance the checkbook, done. Let's change the baby's diapers, your job, done. Right? This is what we do. So for men, we say, we can fix your problem. We're in the box. We are in problem resolving mode. We're in the box. So if you don't want us to fix your problems, you just tell us to get out of the problem box and go into the listening box. Now, men, for us, sometimes we call that the nothing box. We just get in there and look. Nothing is usually there. As long as they don't know we're in the nothing box, it appears like we're listening and life is good. What does it look like, husbands, to love your wife? It looks like you're going to protect her, because that's what we do, amen? Many men will not fight with their wife or argue with their wife, and you know why? Because we have this innate ability that God has put into us, or this desire that God has put into us, to protect our wife. And so why do we want to fight with her? And we don't, and so men will back up, and then women, if you're not careful, you will look at that as a weakness, and then you'll jump up and take his position. So men, do not sacrifice your leadership in leading your wife and in loving your wife and in being as Christ was to the church. That's what we have to be to our wife. Here's an interesting thing. Some men think, well, if I don't get in there and just bam and be that strong arm, then I'm not leading. But that's not true. How many remember the event where Jesus was washing the disciples' feet? Amen? You guys know what I'm talking about? He's washing the disciples' feet. Do you think at any point in time during him washing the disciples' feet that they never looked at him as the leader? Oh no, I promise you, he never lost his position. Servanthood is part of being a leader. And so when we look at wives, submit to your husbands, if we go to verse 21, if we just back up from 22 and we go to 21, let's look at this for a second. Because husbands, I really want you to see what we are to be and how we are to be to the wife. Your wife, specifically. So in 21 it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So all of a sudden, guys, we are to submit one to another. Because the Bible, if we go back and we look in Genesis, it says what? That the husband and the man and the woman, they left their parents and they became one. Husbands, this isn't about you being the leader and the wife submitting. Wives, it's not about you submitting and them being the head of the household. This is about the two of you coming together and making it work. Husbands, you know what you are to do? You are to cherish and nourish your wife. Let's look at this in 24. Therefore, or 25, I'm sorry. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. What does that look like to nourish and to cherish? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like, and you guys might think this is a bad example, but that's okay. It'll stick in your brain. Because you know how I like examples that are kind of gross, right? Amen? Because then you remember it. So if you take someone and you usually always see this in flip-flop season, amen? Corn chip toenails, cracked feet, right? That's pretty gross, isn't it? Especially if you're like my daughter who is absolutely disgusted by feet. If you ever want her to do anything, just take your shoe off and threaten her. No spankings needed, no punishment. They're going, which one? No spanking, nothing needed. Just throw the foot up there and it's like, ah, and they go do whatever you want. And you're like, yes, it's a good thing. But if you take that cracked foot that's just all nasty as crack, you got, how many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Corn chip toenails, yeah, right? It's just nasty. But if you take that foot and you start nourishing it with lotion, that blue spa lotion from Bath and, not Bath and Body Works, but what's that other one? Sells candles. No, sells all that. Maybe it is Beauty Bath Beauty. What is it, baby? Bath and Body Works. Thank you. I said, what is that, baby? And Karen answers me. All right, so it's that leadership thing. Don't worry, Mike. So here's what happens. So you go there and you get this stuff that's especially for designed for the foot, right? Because what do we want? We want to nourish the foot. And so you put it on and it's not long before all of a sudden those nasty feet that you want to hide are ready for flip-flops. And they look good and they're nourished and it looks healthy and everything is good. And that's what it literally means to nourish your wife. It is to come in and anywhere that it is ugly, anywhere, because remember it says that we're to lift them up in the word, we're to raise, you know, to teach the word, to live the word out, and then we are to nourish them, that is to keep them healthy. And it's our job. Why? We're leaders of the household. And some of you ladies go, I can keep myself healthy. That's a poor attitude and your marriage probably stinks, but that's okay. That's your marriage, not mine. So, at any rate, you guys, oh, that didn't get nothing out of it, did you? It's all right. Ride this one out. It'd be good. And so this nourishing literally means for the husband to come along and to take care of the wife. That looks different than what we most of us think, doesn't it? Cherish. I'm going to tell you, if some of husbands today would cherish their wife like they cherish their truck or like they cherish their guns or like they cherish their toys or like they cherish their sport, I wonder what that would look like in the marriage and how it would change it around. Amen? Some of us, we cherish the wrong things. Well, that cherish means to literally take your wife and set her up on a pedestal in a healthy manner. That you're proud of her. That you speak highly of her. You don't degrade her. You don't talk down to her. And you don't talk down about her in front of other people. You cherish her. You brag about her. You brag about what a godly woman she is. You brag about the things that she can do. You lift her up in front of people. You don't degrade her in front of people. One of the things that really just frustrates me more than anything, and I'm telling you, every time I hear it, I correct them. I don't care if I know them or not. Seriously, I don't even have to know the guy and I'll correct him. When they're like, yeah, me and the old lady. Why are you calling her your old lady? That is so disrespectful. That is just, it's and you guys, honey, I won't do that no more. Don't do it in front of pastor. I'm just telling you, that is absolutely disrespectful. It's like taking and saying God or God the Father and saying the big man above. It's not the big man above. He's the creator of the universe. who gave us everything that we might enjoy life. Why would we disrespect him in such a manner as to call him the big man above? He is God. He is holy. He is worthy. He is righteous. And so when we look at our wife, men, we are to look at our wife and it is to be somebody that we can say that we love. And it is somebody that we lift up. And it is somebody that when we present them to the world, we present them in an absolute positive manner. Not degrade or run down. Men, you want your wife to be what you want her to be, then you become what God wants you to be. That'll change. See, the problem is, and ladies, I'm going to work on you next week, so come on back. The problem is, guys, that we always want things, but we're not willing to change ourselves to make it happen. We want a new career, but we don't want to put the effort into education to have the new career. Right? We want a new toy, but we're not willing to put the extra hours in and save the money until you have the cash and pay cash for it. So what do? We just run out and go in debt for it, whether we can afford it or not. See, we want things, but we're not willing to put the effort in to make it happen. And what I'm telling you is that there are times if we want the wife, listen, if you want the wife that you're looking for, you become the man that God is looking for. And then all of a sudden, you'll see life different. And you know what you may even find out? That your wife didn't need to change. I know, you're thinking, but men, you guys are awesome, because there's not one man that shook their head on that one. See, that's just staying strong. Your wife may not be the one that needs to change. It might be you. You want the marriage you want? Be the man that God wants. He says to nourish your wife. That is to put things in her life that is going to keep her healthy. Which means you becoming what God wants you to be, because that's putting healthy things in her life. You take care of her. You take care of her. Like, listen, there's so many times, especially in this society today, that men, women, everybody is just so selfish. So selfish. We make sure we take care of us and we forget about the other. You need to take care of the other and then think of yourself. Take care of your wife and then think of yourself. Okay, before I turn the air on, I'm just taking my jacket off. Somebody say amen. I'm ready to turn the air on though. I'm about to die up here. All right. So we need to take care of, make sure everything's up. Okay. If we're going to nourish, we got to take care of. If we're going to cherish, we got to treat our wife like she is a trophy. Not one that went in the box that you got when you were a kid, but one that meant the world to you and it's still on your mantle. Men, you have to hear me. Love them. Spend time with them. Turn your phones off. Oh! Man, I even go in public and I'll say it out loud if I'm walking by. How crazy is it that people come to dinner together but they both have their face in a phone and won't turn it off? How do you have dinner together? And then I walk on. Amen? How many would hate me if I walked by, right? We need, listen, set the example. When Christ, we need to love our wife as Christ loved the church. Christ set the example. Amen? Of what sacrifice looked like, of what love looked like, of what nourishment looked like, of what cherishing looks like. Do you realize that we are considered, now think about this, we are the bride, we are the church, we're the bride, and yet the Father says that we are His, now look at this, we are His gift to His Son Jesus. How's that for cherishing? Making yourself, making us special. We are the Father, the God of the universe, We are His gift to His Son. That's cherishing. And what I want to tell you is that you, husbands, must cherish your bride. It doesn't mean being the weaker vessel. As a matter of fact, you know, it was funny because when we got married, when Sherry and I got married, I wasn't saved, and she wasn't going to church, and she had gotten saved as a child. It wasn't like she was out. Well, she was a little bit of a hellion, but, you know, it's okay. Okay, I'm kidding. Any of you know her know she's like, right? Mary Poppins or something. And so, anyhow, here I am blazing the trails and causing all kinds of havoc. But when we got married, this was our agreement. You take care of everything in the house. I take care of everything outside the house. How many had that agreement? Amen. Man, you guys aren't playing along at all anymore, are you? But you know what love is? Do you know what being the husband is? That if something needed done in the house, I didn't go, we had an agreement, that's yours. I'll take care of mine later when it needs it. I'm not taking that trash out. House is yours. I'm not cleaning that up. The house is yours. I'm not dusting. The house is yours. No. You know what we do? We go, I love you enough, I'll jump in there and help. I'll run the vacuum. By the way, men, listen, you're going to appreciate this. Maybe, maybe not. There's a book called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. And you know what it's all about? Loving and cherishing and nourishing your wife by helping with the chores, by helping with the things around the house. Men, you want more? Give more. That's all I'm saying. And if you didn't catch on to that, that's the idea. Husbands, what's it looking like to love our wife as Christ loved the church? It looks like full-on investment. It looks like cherishing, lifting up, nourishing, feeding. Listen, if you didn't feed your body, what would happen? You'd shrivel up and die. It looks like pouring everything into her just like you would pour everything into you. It looks like getting her a new car before you get yourself a new car. Because you don't want her walking. Amen? Some of you are like, Pastor, I thought it was going to be good today, but it's just not working. It's okay. Send it to me in an email. It'll be all right. I hit delete like it never came. I go to bed like I really don't care. But listen, your wife needs something, give it to her. Notice the key word was needs. So wives, don't get all crazy and go, oh, I need this beautiful mink coat because it's going to get cold. No. Let's go over here and get you a $35 coat. Looks nice. Got a little fur. It's fake, but it'll work. Put it on. We're good. We don't need mink. Understand the need and the want. But for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, this is what all He did. Did He not? He supplied. He took care of. He went over and above. He did more than what was required of Him. Why? Because He says, I want you to know I love you. I want you to see it. I want you to know what it looks like. I want you to feel my love. I want you to experience my love. And today, for whatever reason, we go our own separate ways, and if it works, we come back together, and if it doesn't, then all of a sudden we go, well, I'm not in love with you anymore, and so I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and the reality is, you quit working on your marriage. The reality is, you have become self-focused, self-centered, selfish. Not shellfish, selfish. You quit nourishing the other part of your body. Like you don't need that part. That part is the whole. And you go, well, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of love. This isn't going to work. I'm going to move on. And here's what you've done. You have left a path of destruction. You think kids aren't hurt by this? They're devastated by it. My girls would come home from school and talk about how their friends were coming to school and saying, man, my parents are getting a divorce, and they would be devastated by it. Then the kids have to choose, all because, husbands, you didn't love your wife as Christ loved the church. Can you imagine if we quit becoming all the things God wanted us to become and he cast us away? Oh, wait a minute. We have quit becoming all the things God wants us to become, right? But he doesn't cast us away, does he? He holds on. He pulls us closer. As a matter of fact, he'll even go out of his way to draw us back in. The prodigal son, when he went off and did all the crazy stuff and spent all the money and went bankrupt. I know some of your husbands are like, oh, her with the credit card. My jokes are getting less and less funny. And then men go, well, I'm out of here because I can't afford you. What happened when the prodigal son came back? Kill the fatted calf, man. Put a robe around them. Where's the ring that exemplifies I love you? And you know what? You don't ever see God departing from us. You see us departing from God. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's not going anywhere. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who changes? We do. And so, husbands, if we're going to love our wife like Christ loved the church, then that means that we have to love our wife no matter what. Full on. If you notice in here, it simply says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What is after her? Somebody look in their Bible. What is after her? Period. Period. Not if she does everything you like the way you like it. Not if she's perfect. Not if you still desire her. Not if you don't like the little things that she does now because they annoy you. Not if she's not being all that you want her to be, the way she wants to be. Not if she's not submissive. You know, there's no ifs at the end of that. That is, you love her, period. And then we're given the beautiful example of what that looks like to love, to cherish, to protect as you would your own body. And the Bible says that if we do that, we'll have the exact marriage that we want. Because the truth is, you leave your marriage now and you go get remarried. Do you know why the grass is greener on the other side? Anybody know why? They fertilize it. They take care of it. You go by and you look at somebody's lawn and you're like, wow, that is gorgeous. Look at the landscape. Look at that green grass. You know what they've done? They've invested in it. They have poured themselves into it. They have spent the money and the time on it. And then you drive by another one and it's got jaggers in it and pricklers, whatever you guys call them in the Northeast, I don't know. It's got mud spots, dry spots, bare spots, sprigs, overgrown, not trimmed out. Why? Nobody's spending the time or the money on it. Husbands, if you want a beautiful landscape, invest in it. If you want the yard or the house that you've always desired, invest in it. Spend your money, spend your time, put your effort in. Now, ladies, I'm going to hit you tomorrow, next week on your part. Watch, I'm just going to have like three men here next week. The others aren't coming because their wives will say no, and the wives aren't coming because they're like, I don't want to know what I got to do. Okay, I'm kidding. It's a joke. If we do our part and we put in the investment and we treat our wives like we would treat our bodies, our marriage would be amazing. Amen. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. For this reason shall a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then in 32 he says this. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Marriage is not a great mystery. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the church is a great mystery, but it's not a great mystery if we understand what God wants. And so what he's saying, I want to fix the mystery, is listen, I want you men to love your wives, and wives, I want you to respect your husband. Isn't that crazy? Nowhere in the Bible does it tell the wife to love her husband. Isn't that crazy? Somebody say amen. And we'll get into that next week for the ladies. This isn't a mystery. He's not talking about, oh, this is a mystery that we don't understand it. What he's saying is, what you think you don't understand, this is what it is. It's Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. Jesus is the groom. The church is the bride. Husbands, you're the groom. Your wife is the bride. You treat your bride like Jesus treated his bride. That's your mystery. Solved. Done. So husbands, I'm encouraging you to be the man that God's called you to be. And if you'll do that, you will be the husband and the father that God wants you to be, which will be exactly what your wife and children desire you to be. It's just a beautiful picture. But it's not beautiful if we don't paint it the way it's supposed to be painted. It's not beautiful if we don't surrender to God. It's not beautiful if we don't serve one another. It's not beautiful if we don't treat... It's kind of like going out in the weather, you know, because the cold weather's coming on. That's whatever. And it's kind of like saying, hey, you know what I'll do? Here's what I'll do. Man, this is a great idea. I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to cover the left side of my body. I'm going to dress it all up nice and warm. It will withstand winds. It will withstand minus 30 degrees. Man, listen, I am going to cover the left side of my body. It is going to be wonderful. But I'm going to take the right side of my body and just see how it exists without any kind of nourishment and cherishing and love and protection. And I'll go out into minus 30 degree weather with 30 mile an hour winds, and let's just see how it holds up. It's going to be frostbite. It's going to be ugly. Amen. Wives, husbands, when you don't take care of your wife like the Bible says, it's kind of like going outside with half your body protected and the other half not. It's just a matter of time before the elements of the world tear you down. You need to decide to love your wife as Christ loved the church, period. You say, well, she doesn't deserve it. Who are you? She's unlovable. You married her. I don't like when she does this or when she does that. Why didn't you communicate it? Do you realize that 95% of all marriage problems comes down to no communication? Poor communication. My husband is hurting me because he does this. Have you told him? No, he should know. Remember, we are waffle heads. We know when you take us to the communication box and tell us. It's the communication. Desire, if your desire is to be and have the marriage that you've always looked for, your answer is right here. Husbands, be the groom. You're not going to be perfect. Wives, don't expect it. Because wives, you're not perfect either. Husbands, don't expect it. But we can put forth all the effort, as the scripture tells us, to have a wonderful marriage. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will be finished. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come before you, and Lord, I ask that you would bless, Lord, that you would bless these marriages, Lord, that you would strengthen the men to be the man of the house, to do the things, Lord, that you desire us to do. Lord, I pray that you would break the spirit of the man who chooses not to follow you. And Lord, that you would help him to see that if he truly wants the marriage that you want for him, Lord, we have to listen to your word. We have to be obedient. We got to do it your way, not our way. Lord, help us to take the pride and the selfishness out of ourselves and to surrender to you, Lord, so that we could serve our spouse. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen these marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.